Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I asked a question before the break, 888-957-9570, because I know Niner fans are exhausted right now. It's been an up-and-down roller coaster, starting from the Super Bowl loss in Las Vegas in this offseason. And everybody's talking about the 49ers. RG3's talking about the Niners. You know, how the Brandon Ayuk situation has affected this season. But Matt DeHeegan had a great tweet, and I want to steal it. I want to ask this question. If you had to say one thing that pisses you off or disappoints you the most about the Niners this season, what would it be? Because it's now turning into a disappointment season. And the last 2 weeks you get beat by Green Bay, what was it, 30-10, 31-10? They got blown out. And then 38-10 in Green Bay, 35-10 in Buffalo. You scored 20 points the last 2 weeks. 20 points while giving up 73. You've lost a turnover battle. Turnover battle, 6-0. You've committed 6 turnovers the last 2 weeks, and you've forced none. So, what's been the most disappointing thing? What's the one thing that pisses you off, Niner fans, about this season? 888-957-9570. And I'll start with you, Shasky.
Yeah, the most disappointing thing, and I think this has been kind of a constant theme throughout a multi-year thing, but this year in particular has reared its head. It's not just the fans. It's also the players and the organization. The excuses and the denial. The excuses on why they've lost or they've come up short over the years, and in particular this year, and then the denial to acknowledge where you are and what you are. And I thought that yesterday, and I saw a lot of people arguing about this online, in my friend groups, face-to-face. Shanahan basically came out and was like, hey, we're not as good as we were the last couple of years. And everyone was losing their mind. You don't say that when you're coaching a team. And hey, look, I've coached lots of teams, and I'm not pretending to be a professional coach. But I believe that sometimes the best way to connect with people is actually being honest and telling someone like, dude, you're not that good, actually. I love you. Like, you got a long way to go. Do you want me to gaslight you or do you want me to be honest? I actually appreciated Kyle finally acknowledging after getting blown out 25 points multiple times in the last couple weeks, saying like, yeah, we're not as good as we were the last couple years. And he's not wrong. And it's okay to say it every now and then. No one is saying that it's you're throwing the players under the bus and you're not taking accountability. No, I just thought it was a moment of clarity and self-awareness. And I actually appreciate Kyle being real about it because I've heard Debo say, we think we're the best team in the league. Like, no, you're not. Like, I know you could feel that way, but you haven't won the ultimate prize. And there's been a denial at every sense of turn. And look, I agreed with them at points. Hey, Brock Purdy got hurt in Philadelphia. All right. Like, yeah, it sucks, but they also did knock you out. And there's no guarantee that you win with Brock Purdy in that game. In the Super Bowl, we knew the rules. No, you didn't. You didn't know the rules. You didn't know the rules. You screwed up. There were multiple points. Let's throw Steve Wilks under the bus. Nah, Bosa, how about you make a play on 4th and 2? You know, all of these things coming to roost. This year, more than ever, the excuses, the injuries, the contracts, the this, the that, the denial of the players and the fans to acknowledge like they're not as good. Finally, Kyle said that. Like, that's been one of the things I've been most frustrated with this year. Excuse making.
I don't know how many excuses I've heard, but the most disappointing aspect of this season to me, it's the off season. It's the way the season started.
Okay.
That's the most disappointing thing to me. As we all go through the lulls of summer, and we're watching the Sad Sack baseball team and the San Francisco Giants. We're watching this guy, Farhan Zaidi. I know you guys talked probably Blake Snell on Wednesday as he signed to the Dodgers. Look, I didn't care whether or not he was traded or not. I just wanted the Giants to pick a lane. Are you all in or are you all out? Because if you're all in, you make trades for other assets. But instead, they sold off Soler. They sold off a couple other players, Alex Cobb. And they just said, oh, we have the best rotation in baseball. We're going to be fine. Wait, what?
Alex Cobb!
You made moves to save money. So you didn't pick a lane. That was the most frustrating aspect about that. But we were working ourselves up to get ready for a bounce back season. Okay, they lost the Super Bowl. Let's get charged up. It's football. We love football. Football is king. And we get to training camp, and there's the IU situation. And you get to training camp, and it's like, oh, wait, Trent's not here. And then Shanahan goes up to a podium and said, yeah, we kind of brace ourselves for Trent not being here. Wait, what? And Trent doesn't crazy. Show up. Trent doesn't show up until the last, until the week before the season. So the most disappointing aspect of bouncing back from a Super Bowl loss in that fashion, in overtime, was that everything was buttoned up going into training camp. They let these things just linger. The IE situation lingered and lingered and lingered. Now, I'm not here to go back in the past and say, well, it was his fault.
Both parties screwed up.
Both parties are culpable. But the fact that that lingered so deeply into training camp, and then you think about what happened in training camp. Oh, McCaffrey's out with a calf injury. Oh, later on, we find out week one against the Jets, and it's an Achilles.
Well, that's the part of the excuses for me. Like, they let us on. Like, McCaffrey was going to be ready to go.
No, and he wasn't. But you got to play gamesmanship for other teams. I get that aspect of it, that you don't want other teams to have intel on what's going on in your building. Hockey does it all the time with lower body injuries, upper body injuries. They're not going to reveal anything. But also, Ricky Pearsall, your first-round pick, okay, if IU's not going to be here, well, let's see what Slick Rick has. And Slick Rick can't stay on the football field in training camp. And that was before he got, unfortunately, shot down here at Union Square. And then you get to the fact that this gets lost in the shuffle. And it should have been a microcosm, or it should have been a sign of things to come. And we were in denial as fans. They couldn't even scrimmage the New Orleans Saints because they didn't have enough healthy bodies. They had to cancel a scrimmage, cancel a flight down to L.A. to scrimmage. And it was like, wow, we should have saw this all coming. We should have all seen it coming. And we didn't, because we thought that they could overcome this because they have in the past. And yet they didn't. So that's the most disappointing aspect to me, was that they didn't handle their business before training camp, and they let things in the offseason linger into training camp and into the season, and here we are now at 5-7.
You know, it's funny you referenced the offseason. The first practice, non-padded, we went to, and what did I come out saying the next day? It's like, man, they felt a little flat.
Well, there's no fans there.
No, I know, but it just, there wasn't the same, because Greenlaw brings this intensity. Ayuk, for whatever we want to argue about, Ayuk and Fred went at it the last couple years. There was an intensity. There was a level of intrigue and excitement, whether it was the Sam Darnold and Trey Lance stuff in the background of Brock Purdy recovering from an elbow injury. There was always something, and it felt like, it just felt flat that first day.
Dude, it was flat, and I thought you were going to bring up the fact that Isaac Grandel popped his hamstring in the first practice right in front of us.
Omen.
Popped his hamstring. We're like, damn, he's out 3 weeks.
Saw it right away.
First carry, boom, popped. Hamstring gone. And so, Devondre Campbell getting beat on the corner route. It's wow, that's first day of practice too. So, the offseason is the most disappointing aspect. This team acted as if they were the Cleveland Browns at that time, and they've been one of the most buttoned-up organizations in the last 7 years. But this offseason, you draft a wide receiver. Now everybody's saying, man, we should have had Ladd McConkey. We should have had this guy. We should have had that guy.
That's how it works.
But Baldy talks about Pearsall. He goes, wait, I didn't even know that stat because I don't even notice him on film. That's our first round pick.
I hate saying this, but like Rashawn Woods, AJ Jenkins, like, look, Ricky's got a long way to go. It's his first year. But on a team that desperately needed impact across the board, it is not a great year one impact pick.
Well, here's what Baldy had to say about Pearsall.
What surprised me about that stat right there, because I did not know that, is that he's even run 63 routes. Because you don't even notice him. You don't even know he's on the field. Like, that's how invisible he is. I'm thinking, well, where is he? All right, I see Juwan out there slipping and sliding. I see George doing what he's doing. Like, where's the ball even going for the most part? It's not really, I don't even know who it's going to. Obviously, it's not going to Pearsall. I talked to him on the field before the game in Green Bay. He said he's here to beat man coverage. I haven't seen him get open. I haven't seen him even look at him, where he's even being featured in any way right now.
So he was supposed to be the man beater after losing the Super Bowl, because everybody said, oh, the Niners couldn't get off man coverage in the Super Bowl. Kansas City Spags just press man and bump and run, and they couldn't get any separation. So you draft a guy who apparently was a man beater, yet we're like the Kansas City game. That's why Greg Cosell, God bless his soul, he knows a lot more about football than I do. But I was in a press box for Kansas City, and I told you, I said, I didn't see him beat man coverage much against Kansas City. I saw him get choked up. Now, Greg Cosell said he looked juicy. It was juicy. Remember that? He said juicy.
I don't know what that meant. But then a couple weeks later, he kind of like walked it back different podcast.
What'd he say?
Well, that he wasn't getting off of coverage as well.
Oh, so he was just...
I don't know.
Placating to the marketplace.
I don't know. Look, he has a discerning eye. I'll bow down to his expertise and his discerning eye. You know, sometimes you're being asked things and you just say something and you're wrong. But sometimes also, like, the player changes week to week, right? Yep. There's been times this year, Purdy. There's been times I felt like he's been excellent. And there's other times where I'm like, I don't think he's seeing the field. I don't think he's trusting what he's seeing. And is that me waffling back and forth, or is that me being honest and assessing what I'm seeing on a week-to-week basis?
I see the same thing. Here's what Baldy's seeing from Brock Purdy in the snow.
I don't think he's playing great by any stretch, but at the same time, I don't know exactly what he's supposed to do. Like, you throw the ball on the first throw to Kittle, and he doesn't catch another pass. Now, they threw to him. He was interfered with. You know, a couple things happened. He wanted to go to him. He got guys jumping up in his face. They ran the ball very well, which helps, but they're not getting any big plays, you know, and that's kind of falls on the quarterback right now. So that's where they're struggling right now. And the finish drives, I mean, the turnovers are killing them, and they're not taking the ball away. So you're minus three on the road in that condition. You got Juice fumbling at the goal line, and, you know, Debo fumbling, you know, deep in his territory and a kickoff. Like, these things are killing his team right now.
You know, Pete, here's the part for me that's tough to come to grips with. I supported Purdy so hard. It's like, man, he is so much better than Jimmy G. And I'm sure a lot of people saw that as me putting Jimmy G down, right? But, like, I did. I really thought this dude was the dude. I thought he was the franchise quarterback. You know, pay him whatever he wants. I've been so unimpressed at times this year. He's had great games. He's had great moments. You know, like the Ram game in particular. But there's been a lot of other times where he's had moments in games, moments in drives to kind of like be the swashbuckler, the franchise quarterback. And just, for example, the Seahawk game, you make the throw to Debo.
Yes.
That game's over.
You make the throw.
You know, make the throw.
What about Arizona? You threw the pick. Looking for George Kittle on the crosser to win the game.
He's been one of – it's the most important position on sports. You can't talk about the top, whatever, 6-7 teams without talking about quarterback, right? And, like, he's been disappointing for me. I expected better, and I wanted better, and I feel let down because I was championing him so hard, and it's and now it feels like I'm jumping off the pre. I'm not. I'm assessing what I'm seeing, and he's not as good.
It's a year-to-year league.
He's not playing as good, and it's really. I honestly think it's been a blow to their psyche.
And look, Purdy may be good, not great.
He may be good and not great. That could be.
He may not be elite, and that's okay. Can you win without having an elite quarterback? We've seen good quarterbacks win. We've seen quote-unquote game managers win, which I don't subscribe because all quarterbacks are game managers to a certain extent. But can you make that it play? Can you make that off-script play? We haven't seen that enough from Brock Purdy this season. So, look, there's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs with him this year. Now we got to think about the shoulder injury, the elbow, what's going on with that. But also, I look at Purdy's situation. I say, well, damn, his receivers aren't getting open. You got to hold on to the ball a little longer because guys can't separate. You got no speed on the outside. That's what I want. I want a guy like A.J. Brown on this roster. I've been begging for him for years. They're so damn slow on the outside. It's not even funny.
Yeah, but how many teams die to have Kittle?
I get you got Kittle, but maybe teams are doubling him at times. Maybe with the exception of the Buffalo game. Okay. I hear Kittle. But for the most part, I'm thinking to myself, damn, I'm looking at these wide receivers every single game. When I'm at the game and I'm in the box or I'm in my seats, the 49ers wide receivers don't get separation whatsoever.
Yeah, but Drake May's throwing to nobody. Like, and you know, Daniel Jones has got Malik Nabers for half the year this year. Like, that's the plight of a quarterback in the NFL.
You know
how many teams would die to have a top five rusher in Jordan Mason to start the season or George Kittle, a Hall of Fame tight end?
It's not enough. I mean, I'm looking at the receiver core.
Who's Bo Nix throwing to?
Yeah, but no. Courtland Sutton is a really good wide receiver.
Okay.
Really good wide receiver.
Is he better than George Kittle?
And they're scheming him up, Bo Nix. They're doing a great job. I do subscribe to the fact that you need to just force feed George Kittle. I'm with Baldy on that one. But at the same time, looking at the outside, Baldy said he doesn't even notice Pierce all on the film.
Yeah, but Jennings is a solid two. I think he's a solid number two.
Solid.
You don't think so?
He's a solid three, in my opinion. He's solid.
I think he'd be a solid two in a lot of places.
The problem is you don't have a one or a three right now.
That I agree with. But even when they had Ayuk out there, they weren't really clicking.
We know why they weren't clicking.
Well,
we know why they weren't clicking. Let's go to Anthony.
Like, look, who's the number one for Josh Allen?
Right. Well, they've got a bunch of weapons, and you have Josh Allen. He's elite. That's the difference. He's elite.
If Shakur came here, would he be a number one?
No.
Would he be a number two?
Josh Allen is elite.
Okay.
And I don't think they have a true, like, they traded for Amari Cooper for a reason.
Yeah.
You still got Keon Coleman. You got Matt Collins as his red zone threat. When they're healthy, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are very good tight ends. So you got two tight ends. You got some good players out there in Buffalo. Okay. Anthony.